I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Dr. Varma, welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. I got to tell you, I am pretty stoked to talk about what we're going to talk about today because I have a teenager and he's coming into acne ages. And I know that we are going to also talk about the gut microbiome, which I am completely fascinated and a little bit maybe obsessed with. So could you share with the listeners how you got into the world you're in and a little bit about who you are?
Hey, Michaela, thanks for having me on. It's real pleasure to talk to you today. Let me introduce myself. I'm Yug. I'm the founder of Phyla, and my background is I'm a scientist. I got my PhD from Johns Hopkins and then did a postdoc at UCSF, right after which I started Phyla. And I've been sort of studying the microbiome for 13 years now. So I've been in this field for a while, and although it's a young field, it's been a very exciting one because it's really captured the imagination of people justifiably because, you know, a lot of science has come out, but I think very, very early on, it was clear that this field of science is going to have a huge impact on human health. And so for the last 7 or so years, I've been really involved in trying to figure out how we can go as quickly as possible from getting these scientific insights to, you know, putting them in products and what this says about our health.
I love that so much. So I had started kind of following Dr. Zach Bush quite a few years ago, who's obviously very big also in the microbiome world. And I learned a lot about the fact that, you know, everything to do with our mental health and our skin, et cetera, really originates in the microbiome. And what's fascinating to me is, you know, how much we put on our skin in terms of topical treatments, when really, as I understand it, we need to be looking at what we're consuming and how we're taking care of kind of the flora and fauna in our system. Can you talk a little bit about that? Can you help people understand your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, it turns out that, you know, we have a microbiome pretty much everywhere in our body and every exposed surface. So that means that we have a microbiome of the skin. We have a microbiome of the mouth, the oral microbiome. We obviously have a microbiome of the gut, which most of your listeners would be pretty aware of. You know, we have a microbiome of the feet, of the genitals, et cetera. I see the microbiome kind of as a rainforest, because just like a rainforest, it's incredibly diverse. And its diversity is its strength. So typically, if you are healthy, you have a diverse microbiome because that also makes it more resilient and it prevents bad bacteria essentially from colonizing your body and causing disease. So the microbiome actually has a very, very important role in keeping us healthy. Now, when we're healthy, you know, your microbiome may look different from mine, right? Just like a rainforest in India may look different than a rainforest in the Amazon, but the fundamentals are the same, right? Like your microbiome is diverse, my microbiome is diverse. They're both resilient. They're both strong. What happens when we get a bacterial disease is often one bacteria comes in, overgrows and causes a disruption, right? So it's kind of like having an invasive species or an invasive weed in a rainforest.
Right.
Now, the typical way that we tackle these bacterial chronic diseases, and for the skin, there are many, obviously, there's acne, there's eczema, rosacea, et cetera. In all of these cases, we treat these diseases with an antibacterial. In the case of acne, this would be antibiotics, benzoyl peroxide, retinoids, and all of them kill bacteria, but they're not specific. They're not just killing the bad bacteria, they're killing the good bacteria as well. So essentially, what you're doing, going back to that rainforest analogy, is that you'd be trying to get rid of this weed in the rainforest by burning down the rainforest,
Right.
which is not a very constructive thing to do, especially if you think that the rainforest is something that's good to have around. And just like our microbiome, has a very protective function. So, we've developed a technology that allows you to kill just the bad bacteria selectively without hurting the good bacteria. And in fact, making that microbiome stronger and more resilient so that when a bad bacteria may come back and want to overgrow, you have that protective layer that is your microbiome that prevents that. And so, we've applied this approach to acne with great results, not only seeing this in our clinicals, but as we've had more than 20,000 customers, more than 1,000 reviews on our site, probably close to 1,500 now. And really, something where acne is such a big effect in people's lives. It's not just a skin disease, it's a mental health issue as well. And to see this literally have life-changing results for some of our customers has been very gratifying.
Well, I hadn't really thought about the skin having its own microbiome. That's fascinating. And then I hadn't really thought about the fact that, some of these cleansers and things that you might use would wipe out the good stuff, just like we kind of see when you take an antibiotic that is treating something systemically, it wipes out everything. And that's why they say you have to add a probiotic back in. So that's really fascinating. And so my question is, what are the contributing factors to, acne? What are the contributing factors to, any kind of breakout that we might experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it has to be the starting point towards understanding acne, right? Now, acne is essentially driven at its root by the overgrowth of one bacterium called C. acnes. This is a bacterium that's actually present on the face of pretty much every adult on Earth. So everyone listening to this podcast will probably have this on their face. And obviously, everyone doesn't have acne all the time. So the takeaway here is that C. acnes is a normal member of the microbiome. It's supposed to be there. But when it overgrows, when it grows out of proportion to the rest of the microbiome, that's when it elicits an inflammatory response from our body. And that inflammatory response is essentially the pimples and zits and cysts that you see in acne. So really, the way to control acne at its root and over the long term is to control the overgrowth of this disease. Now, a lot of your listeners might be saying, well, it's not that simple. There's diet, there's hormones, there's genetics, there's stress, all of these play into acne. And that's absolutely right. But all of those are secondary factors and they in affect how this bacteria grows. So let's take diet, for example. Diet is significant for some people to control their acne, for others, it's not. And the way this works is, we have these sebaceous glands in on our face. These are basically oil-producing glands that are paired with a pore, and they pump oil into the pore. Now, the oil sebum is a good thing. It's produced by our body to protect our skin, but it's also the main food for C. acnes, which has evolved very, very well to use this pretty much as its sole carbon source. So when you have a dietary component to acne, what that means is when you eat certain foods, it triggers your body to produce more sebum. And the sebum being food for the bacteria, more food, more bacteria, and that's why there's that food dependent cycle. Similarly, hormones and hormonal cycles have a very well-known effect on oil production. And again, more oil, more food, more bacteria. Stress is easy to understand. You sweat more, you produce more oil, more bacteria will grow. And then genetics, right? Genetics plays a role too. Like I have big pores, you know, some people have small pores or less oily skin. And so all of these factors make it seem like a complex condition. But from a microbiome lens, it really simplifies it and allows you to focus on the root cause.
And so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask something that my girlfriends and I have been talking about. So, and I'll give you a little backstory. So last year I've known my whole life, I have a nickel allergy, a balsam Peru allergy. Last year I had a full systemic response to eye makeup, et cetera. And so it was pretty horrific and traumatic and awful and all the things. And so I kind of went on this mission for clean, very, very clean. I ended up with European makeup, et cetera, et cetera. But in that process, I've also learned a lot about using Vaseline for skincare and using castor oil. Can you talk to those two things a little bit? They're kind of like the rage right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to hear about your experience. And you're right that I think it's pretty much an open secret that the European standard for beauty is much higher and more stringent than the American standard. And hopefully we'll be moving to that standard. I mean, we hold ourselves to that kind of standard as well. So applying Vaseline or castor oil, I mean, I think the term is known as slugging. Has become very popular. It's just a way of kind of really not overhydrating, but extra hydrating your skin and keeping it, you know, very, very, preventing the moisture loss. Obviously, the plumper your skin is, the more kind of youthful it looks. And this is just a fact, right? So transepidermal water loss, which is basically how much water is lost from your skin, it is very low for kids, and it increases as you grow older. And so one way that you're kind of preventing this water loss is by applying an oil barrier to your skin. I generally agree with those trends. Obviously, if people have, a reaction or are sensitive to excess oil, that's not good. Again, the reason why that wouldn't have acne raging on your skin, given that I've just told you that sea acne is overgrowth causes acne, and that acne and that sea acne also loves oil, is that all oils aren't the same. The Vaseline obviously is petroleum jelly, so that's not really a carbon source that these bacteria can use. And even castor oil is actually quite different in composition to what these bacteria use. So for many people, that is, you know, pretty safe and effective. But again, everyone's mileage varies. You know, some people have sensitivity to oil on their skin. Or have oily skin in the first place, and so may not find that effective.
That's really helpful. And it's fascinating to kind of see, you know, these different things as I feel like we're actually kind of like regressing a little bit in terms of, you know, my grandmother used castor oil and Vaseline, and I feel like we've kind of come the full gamut. In terms of like the one best thing that you think people can do for like anti-aging, what might that be? What would the one best thing for anti-aging be?
I think moisturizing your skin is the best solution for aging over the long term. And then obviously wearing sunscreen. I have darker complexion, so I don't follow my own rule. And I often go without sunscreen. For myself and my kids, you know, definitely if you're going to be out in the sun all day, and I do this as well, you must remember to put sunscreen. I think that's good practices that most people have incorporated already. But the moisturization piece is something that is still really fascinating to me, because a few years ago, there was a study that was done to investigate a very interesting phenomenon. So we know that as we age, right, like 50s, 60s and older, there's just a huge amount of inflammation that's in our bodies. Like there are certain inflammatory markers in our bodies that just get really high. And they're high in your normal resting state. And we, no one knows where that inflammation is coming from. No one knows the source of it or, you know, what organ is responsible. So the authors of this paper basically started with this hypothesis that, well, the skin is the largest organ. So why don't we look at whether this inflammation is coming from the skin? And so what they did was they formulated a pretty simple skin similar moisturizing cream. And these were seniors, I believe, like that in their 60s. They gave one cohort the moisturizing cream, one without, and just followed them for a few months. And at the end, they looked at their inflammatory markers, you know, at baseline before and then after. What they discovered was just the simple act of moisturizing your skin resulted in a dramatic reduction of inflammatory markers all over your body, right? Like in your blood, and et cetera. And because the only intervention here was moisturization, their conclusion was, well, this inflammation is originating from the skin, and moisturizing your skin kind of is the route to fixing the problem, or at least it's a good start. So a great takeaway that, you know, we talk of inflammation and aging now as something called inflammaging, that as you age, there's also inflammation that kind of is at that confluence. And what that results in is loss of skin tone, saggy skin, less collagen, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe moisturization is a big part of unlocking that.
Oh, I appreciate that. And so you've got a product out there. It's called Phyla. Can you tell people a little bit about it and where to get it?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, Phyla is pioneering phage technology, which is using this natural microorganism that's found on healthy skin to combat C. acnes and specifically kill it without hurting the good bacteria. So you're killing the bad bacteria that cause acne without hurting the good bacteria. We're really the first and right now the only company selling this technology on the market. And we sell it in the form of a three-step kit. We have a cleanser, a serum, and a moisturizer. The cleanser is, you know, very minimally formulated with salicylic acid and tea tree oil. The role there is to just open up the pores to receive the phage. The serum then has the phages, the live active phages in there that get to work and balance your microbiome. And finally, we have the moisturizer, which was formulated to support the phages and ensure their survival. It's a very lightweight, fluffy moisturizer. That's why we call it fluff. And it will give you really gentle deep hydration because a lot of people with acne have damaged skin from previous treatments and a lot of dryness as well from harsh acne products. Mm-hmm. And so it's a simple three-step regimen that anyone can apply to their daily life. It's a minimalist regimen and it's available online at phylabiotics.com. There you'll also find our science and our clinical data where, you know, we've done a deep dive into what causes acne and how our product solves it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about this fascinating stuff. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we go?
No, I mean, I guess I'll part with one thing, which is that, you know, most people have heard of salicylic acid and benzoyl peroxide and antibiotics, et cetera. This is a new technology and we're spreading the word on it. Up until now, people haven't had an option that is both effective and not harsh. And so things like redness, dryness, irritation, inflammation are very common. And for people who take Accutane, it's even worse, right? Birth defects and blood or liver damage, et cetera. A lot of parents looking for solutions for their kids for acne are kind of disappointed and sometimes horrified that the same acne products that they hated putting on their skin when they were young are the only solutions they have. You know, acne research hasn't really produced breakthrough sort of formulas in the last 40 years. And so we're kind of trying to give people an option where they can solve their acne, but they don't have to settle for the damage that it causes to your skin. Looking towards skin health as something that they can have for the rest of their life instead of these quick fixes that may let them down a few months down the line.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Varma. It was great chatting with you, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks, Michaela. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.